Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOZK.
See, that's like a no-win scenario if your dad is... Because your dad is usually 89% of the time your dad is completely unhip. Most of the time he thinks he's still hip. Sometimes he's aware of his lack of hipness.
Well, my dad does wear Hawaiian shirts and sport a ponytail at the age of 52.
Oh, ponytail, is he balding?
Well, he was in the Navy for so long. Yeah, yes, yes. Do you think that I like this? I don't like this. I don't like the way this has turned out.
Well, the point I was going to make is it's a no-win situation, though, because if your dad, nine times out of ten, your dad thinks he's hip, he's not. Sometimes they know it, but most of the time they think that they're still styling. They think they're still, you know, they got their hep car rolling. But occasionally, it doesn't happen very often, but every so often you'll see somebody who is, you know, whatever age, who are still hip and legitimately hip and down with the kids, but then it's just creepy. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't even wash them, because if you've got a parent or, God forbid, a grandparent who somehow manages to remain hip, then it's just kind of bizarre and unnerving. It's like violating one of the fundamental laws of the universe. But then it's just like it's just causing time to flow backward or something. It's wrong. Anyway. Do you do this, though, when you're looking at older people? And when I say older, do you look at people who are like, you know, who are like 55, 60, 65, 70? Have you started doing this yet? Are you at this age? Probably not, because you're 23 or 22?
22.
You're going to start doing this when you start to get around 30. When you start to hit 30, you're going to start looking at older people, and you're going to be planning out your strategy for how to dress when you're old.
No, I totally do that now.
Strategy.
No, yeah. I can't even picture myself being middle-aged.
But the same thing is, I'm not 30 yet, so I'm not trying. And I'm not trying to make people who are 30, 35, 40 feel old. I'm just saying, for me, I got 30 coming up, big milestone. And so I'm already... Because the thing is, once I'm 30, then it's like, then you can start to see how 40 is not too far away. And then if you can go, well, 40's not too far away, well, God, then you can see how 50's not, and then if you just start, then your whole, you
can't think like, don't let yourself think like that.
No, you're just into a shell of a man. So my whole deal is that I'm already looking forward, not in the sense of wanting, but in the sense of anticipating. I'm already looking ahead to being an older person and trying to figure out now how I'm going to dress while I've still got my wits about me. Because I think that by the time you hit 50, you have lost the ability to learn new things, and you've lost the ability to learn how to dress accurately. So at that point, you either got to hire some young Sarah chick.
Sarah's looking at me, and I'm not even 50 yet.
She
was looking right at me when you were talking.
I could look. I saw the look on his face. He was starting to look a little perplexed.
Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Backstroke.
You just good, Clyde.
Well, so I figured it out, though. I figured out the deal is, when you get to be an older guy, again, when you get to be a guy who's 50, the key is, and you don't want to do it in the gothic sense, you want to do it in the stylish older guy sense, the key is to wear a lot of black. When you're an older guy, but you got to do it in the right way. You don't want to wear like black jeans and a black T-shirt, but you wear like black slacks and then a black button-down or a black golf shirt, even maybe, that's tucked a little bit. You know, you're not going to win any runway contest, but you still look good. You still look good. You look black, never goes out of style. You look just dressy enough to be okay.
You could dress like Tim, though. Tim's looking mighty fine today.
Well, but
he's wearing his little turtleneck sweater thing.
That's only because I'm driving my Volvo.
He has to dress up for the Volvo.
Yeah. Wait, but the only problem is that when I'm not wearing black, everybody criticizes me and says I'm out of uniform.
Well, see, that's the thing is, you wear black, you can't go wrong. If you wear black slacks and a black shirt when you get to be an older guy, you got that cool William Holden look going on. You don't look like you're trying. And that's the thing about wearing a lot of black when you get older. If you wear black understated clothing, you don't look like you're trying to stay young. It's like, I'm old, this is what I wear. And you don't end up like my dad wearing like purple and green, you know, or something. What are these? It's like some plaid slacks and like a red shirt, you know?
I came home one day and my dad's closet was just full of Hawaiian shirts of every color.
Has your dad had a midlife
crisis? Yes, he went out and bought. Well, he's traded in. He has a huge Dodge Ram, and he's traded in a couple times for newer and better models. So now he has a 2002 with the double barrel tires in the back.
Oh, he doesn't have a convertible, does he?
Oh, God, no.
Okay.
No. But he can't even drive it. It's so big. It just sits in our driveway half the time.
He's doing the Pelican. Yeah, all right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland, 1-800-727-5955. We got George here in a moment. Later on, top five rock and roll myths of all time. Jolie from the front desk, Clyde with news at Ground Zero. Rob from the House of Rick, and all it says is big news. I don't know what that is. So we'll get that here in just a few. Also, Grant has a hipness thermometer. So we'll take our Hepcat temperature here in just a moment. This is Tim Riley's in the KFTK Newsroom.
From the KOTK Newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
107 Jim Riley with news brought to you by FX. Tonight, Emmy Award winner Michael Chiklis returns in the second season premiere of The Shield.
Yeah, baby.
That's a 10 on FX.
And I got to say, thanks to my man Peter Carlin, I got the hookup. I've seen the first two episodes. I've seen tonight's episode. Because, see, this, can I just tell you that the power of Rick never works for me. The power of the Rick always works for everybody else. You know, Matt gets... I don't know. You know, Matt gets free dinner certificates from Mark, and then Tim's getting a new car, and then we're giving laptops away, and, you know, when Christina moved, she got a bunch of free crap from the auction, you know, that they just gave to her, and people are getting, you know, metal sculptures. I never get anything. But for once, Peter Carlin did something good for me. He slid me the first two episodes of Season 2 of The Shield, tonight's episode and next Tuesday's episode, and man, it was damn fine. And tonight's episode is good. I'm not trying to undersell you on tonight's episode. Tonight's episode of The Shield is good, but it's the bait and switch. Tonight's episode lures you in, and then next week they drop a big metal boot right in your eye. They just drop a hammer on you next week. So you've got to see The Shield tonight, 10 o'clock, FX, which is Channel 53 in Portland.
Oh, by the way, Carlin writes about it today. He calls it violent, vengeful, and corrupt.
It's a great, man. It's a great piece. It's a great piece he wrote today about The Shield. It's a great episode. It's a great show. You really got to see it.
In the news, detectives in Clackamas County investigating a 34-year-old Salem man who had sexual relations with a 16-year-old Clackamas County boy after meeting him in a chat room. This guy's identified as Robert Patton. He was the principal of Sherwood High School at the time of the incidents. So far, the detectives say Patton has been cooperative. And the father of the victim contacted authorities after finding the evidence in the boy's computer. The case accuses Patton of 8 counts of sex abuse. He's been referred to the Washington County DA. Yeah. He faces 5 years in prison and a $100,000 fine for each count. Then, police divers resume a search today in the Columbia Slough near Kelly Point Park for a teenager they believe was murdered. Under arrest, 18-year-old Benjamin Kramer, scheduled for arraignment this afternoon. They have searched with this woman, who's believed to be 18 since yesterday. She may have been dead for several days. So that's a nasty park anyway. People are always getting bitten by pit bulls up there. Kelly Point Park. Don't go there. Nasty place. Sacramento area man remains in serious condition after being smacked in the head with an axe. Detectives arrived at the scene last night. They say it was a remote property. They found Frank Vaughn suffering from an axe wound to the head and mouth. He's in serious condition.
That's the least pleasant wound of all.
Apparently, Vaughn had gone to confront his wife.
With an axe?
Yeah. And then her new boyfriend was there, and he grabbed the axe and smacked him over the head with it, so he won.
Can I just tell you, there's a little lesson from me to you. Just a little sage advice from Rick to y'all. Now, it's not like I'm some Shaolin fighter or something, or whatever. Yeah. I'm just saying, don't ever go to confront somebody with something you don't want taken away and used on you. Okay,
that's what happens.
This is the thing, and just why, you know, why I don't own a gun, and you know, I'm all down with the guns and the firearms and woohoo, fire and destruction. God love it. It's why I don't own one, though. You know why? Because I'm a big retard, and somebody's going to come in my house and they're going to threaten me, and I'm going to take out the gun and wave at it, and they're going to take it from me and beat me to death with it, and then shoot me in the head. So don't ever go to confront somebody with something unless it's like glued to your hand, unless it's, you know, Steve Austin and the axe just shoots out of your arm or something like Transformer style. Don't ever go to whoop up on somebody with something you don't want to be hit in the head with, because, you know, an axe wound to the mouth, I'd say it's one of nature's less pleasant things to endure. So
here's something even less pleasant. A Nevada woman visiting California is in the hospital after being hit in the head by a 1,000-pound log tossed by the surf.
Oh, that's awful.
She and her husband were enjoying one of those romantic walks in the moonlight when she was taken by surprise and hit in the back of the head. The husband managed to free his wife from the log after she was pinned underneath it briefly and called for help from a cell phone. She was airlifted by a helicopter. It pretty much ruined that California vacation. Next time, go to Disney World in Florida.
Active log. Right,
yeah.
There. I didn't.
Anyway,
I'm resisting the urge to sing some variant on a log song. Like, you know, what ends your life and injures your wife rolls over you in the surf. Da da da. It's log log log. Yeah. See, I'm not going to do that because that would be wrong.
Well, beside that program we were talking about earlier, Jag is on tonight, as is Smallville. Buffy is on.
Can I just tell you about the TiVo for a second? I got my mom, I gave my mom the hookup with the TiVo, and I keep talking about this because I've got that prideful son thing where I'm so filled with hubris about my greatness as a child. But I gave my mom the TiVo, and this is the total difference between me. You want to know what my family is like? People always ask me, what kind of a family did you come from? And I always give the example of, you know, it was just lots of tuna pinwheels and tamale pie at my house. But, you know, you look at our TiVo, and it's like we've got the History Channel. It's not like we're culture and whatnot. But we got, you know, the History Channel. We got the West Wing, a little sports night. We got the Portland Wrestling being a Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And then we got the, you know, and Lara takes that, the Christopher Lowell show. You know, the hi, I'm in the closet, that decorator guy. She takes him. But then my mom calls me the other day, and I'm like, hey, Mom, how's the TiVo working? And she's like, great, I'm filling it up with Jag and Renegade episodes. Jag and Renegade. It's like, could Highlander the series be next?
Armageddon is on tonight with Bruce Willis. And I guess that's about it. Now getting back to these Ashton Kutcher and Brittany Murphy sound bites. Ashton can't say enough wonderful things about his co-star, and she agrees.
I learned more about my profession and my work from this girl.
Your profession.
Than anyone in,
like, he's an oncologist.
I've ever worked with.
He sounds pretty intelligent.
Actress I've ever worked with. Or actor.
Have you worked with enough?
No, she's the most amazing thespian I've ever worked with.
Thespian.
A pleasurable human being.
It's a regular Meryl Streep.
A real sweetheart.
Well, I don't know how to. Basically, I feel the same way.
Luann Hill, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Who's the guy? I know who Brittany Murphy is.
He's the guy from that 70s show.
Oh, God. All right.
The tall, lanky one.
So now he's adding to his oeuvre not only that 70s show, but a zany romantic comedy. All right.
They talk about filming on location in Italy in the Swiss Alps.
Life is hard.
Oh, my Lord. It was the greatest. It was hard.
Better than backpacking in Europe.
So amazing.
Oh, man. Yeah, it was unbelievable.
We're impossibly vaping.
Yeah, it was like a whirlwind vacation.
It was.
Yeah, it was.
I have
really
a vacuum
amazing
in my head. Okay, whatever.
Enough of that.
The only thing I know about Brittany Murphy is that she was Eminem's girlfriend in A Mile, and she's the voice of Luann Hill, who I find strangely attractive in ways that you really shouldn't feel about a cartoon character. So the less said about that, the better.
Well, the weather's going to keep on being pretty good, as Richard Nunn said it would be.
Is that your meteorological technical forecast?
It is.
It's going to be pretty good.
It's going to be pretty good.
Okay.
And fairly nice nights as well. Tim Riley in the KOTK Newsroom, live around the world at KOTK.com, made possible by Budget Computers, over the $200 laptop.
All right, 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. 1-800-727-5955 or 503-250-1080. Coming up later on this hour, I'm already getting suggestions. People thinking they know what's on the list. A top five rock and roll myths of all time coming up this hour. Also, Jolie from the front desk. All right, so we're going to get Rob at the House of Rick in a moment. And Grant, I want to know what the hypnosis thermometer is. So we'll get that in just 1 second. George, what's your dilly?
Yeah. Hey, Rick, you're right to fear aging. I'm 41, and I'm the antimatter of hypnosis universe.
Totally. Well, see, but when you get to be that unhip, you can just do what George Costanza did on that episode of Seinfeld, where you take your gut reaction, and then you just do the opposite.
Oh, that's true, but that's never helped me. I guess I just can't even slingshot around the sun and become hip. I'm just so far out there.
No.
But I was the high point of my day is talking to UPS drivers and telling them about your show.
Excellent. God love you.
And I love your theme about your idea of if I were king.
Yeah.
I'd like to suggest a song for that. It's Good to Be King by Tom Petty.
Oh, there you go.
And
we should totally do that. The bit will be called When I Am the Grand Imperial Dictator.
Or you can use it from The Lion King.
If you were king, Rick.
What's that?
The world would swing if you were king.
Dude, I'm telling you, put me in charge like 35 minutes, I have this world running like a top.
I'll take it.
Okay.
Hey, can you send me out with a THX, then a Brit 6, ending with a Morty Klein?
We don't have... we don't have
any. Please, that's why, that's old why, man's life.
I have Morty Klein down here.
We have Morty Klein. That's why Lycus is so good about all that stuff. Because people call it with Lycus, and it's like... It's like they're mixing a drink, you know, at that Tom Cruise bar, you know, where they're going, yeah, Tom, I need three THX as a thank you, Jesus, one, you know, one orgasm, a bong hit, and take me out, Joey Ramone. And then who is it that does that? It's not Dino that does that, is it?
I'm fond of the creaking bed myself.
But man, Lycus just puts that stuff all together. All we've got is, I don't want to start a trend here, but here's Morty Klein. Come on. All right, we'll go to the House of Rick in just one moment. Grant, what's your deal?
Okay, man, the hypnosis thermometer, it's built into every male. It's called male pattern baldness.
Yeah.
Directly proportionate to your hypnosis. Basically, once you're like the guy with the mullet that's forced upon you, and you're trying to be cool by having like that long ponytail with that shiny dome.
Seriously.
It's complete uncoolness.
We call that having the Gallagher. It's when it's bald on top, long in the back. Because when you think about it, that is the most extreme form of mullet.
It is.
You know, because it's not only short on top, it's gone on top. But, you know, when you go in, don't touch the back. Can I just
Thanks, Rick.
Yeah, there you go. When I was in Kennewick over the Christmas holiday, we were in Kennewick and we were driving through some strip mall looking for a Hastings, which is like a Hastings is like a they don't even have media. It's like a music store. It's like a Walmart of music and books and videos and stuff. It's like a big Blockbuster, but they have music too. Anyway, so we're driving through the strip mall looking for Hastings. I'm buying something for my mom. Long story short, but we drive by the Supercuts. Supercuts, baby. And it's like where I got all of my haircuts. And it was like, Kennewick is so small. You all know if you've been there. I mean, you can see the whole town like 2 minutes. And we get lost occasionally because it's like I'm really bad with directions and Laura wasn't born there. She's like, well, what if we get lost? And I'm like, in Kennewick, you're only ever 5 minutes away from your destination. No matter where you are, you are 5 minutes from where you need to be because it's such a damn small town. But we're driving through here. As we're driving through Kennewick, it's like the Rick Emerson. It's like that Liverpool tour they give you for the Beatles. Here's where John met Paul. Here's where Paul first played Jailhouse Rock. But, you know, in Liverpool, you can see Strawberry Fields, and they'll totally give you the whole thing. In Kennewick, I'm giving her the guided tour, and I'm like, yeah, that's right over there is where I got pulled over by the cops. And right
people are telling me it's called a skullet. The bald head with the hair on.
Oh, okay. Skullet.
Skullet.
Oh, let me file that to memory. Okay. Anyway, this is not a longer story to get to a tiny, tiny little punchline, but one of the highlights or lowlights of our Kennewick visit was driving through the strip mall on the Rick Emerson tour and me going, that's the Supercuts, where I always used to say, cut the front, don't touch the back. It's the Supercut right there. That chair is where I had my mullet tended year after year after year. This is bad. All right. I don't even know what I was talking about. All right. How long is your dad's hair in the back? Ponytail?
God, it used
ponytail?
To, well, measure it by, you know, how long is ponytails. It used to be like... Yeah. 3 inches, now it's about six.
Just...
Well, I mean, he was, you know, the straight-laced guy in the Navy for about 30 years. He's going buck wild.
Have you tried? Have you tried to point out to him, like, Dad, you're...
Yeah, he started to give the guilt trip. Like, Sarah, how would you feel if, you know, someone was telling you every day how to cut your hair? And I started feeling bad, so I stopped making fun of him.
But you're right, though. That's the thing is,
I know.
About him. I haven't even seen him, and I know you're right.
I know, but, you know, whatever he likes.
All right, like you're indulging a slightly retarded child. Yeah, but he smears his own waste on the walls. Yeah, but it makes him happy. All right, here's Rob at the house of Rick. What's up with you, brother?
Hey, man, your ratings are going to spike here in Wisconsin in about a week. Unfortunately, my best friend in the world, Tony from the house of Rick, is moving to Wisconsin tomorrow.
And what? So,
yeah, he's moving to Wisconsin. He's got some
tomorrow?
Stuff to take care of. What's that?
Tomorrow?
Tomorrow, yes.
This sounds kind of sudden. I mean,
he's got some family stuff to take care of. It's all. Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't know pride, but I mean, is it a permanent move or permanent for the future anyway?
About 3-4 years, it's looking like.
Damn, man.
So, yeah, I just want to let him know that I love him and I'll miss him. So.
All right. Well, wish him, give him our best, man. We're gonna miss him. Tell him he's got to, in between his life, he's got to call in occasionally.
Oh,
from Wisconsin.
Okay. I'm gonna have you on the computer. I can just see him running around accosting people. Listen to Rick Emerson.
In that frightening way that only Tony can really ever nail.
Exactly.
All right, there you go.
There you go.
Thanks, Rob. Sad news. Well, that sucks. Well, Portland's loss is Wisconsin's... Well, it's their loss also, really. But, I mean, what are you going to do? Well,
I wonder if Sarah's moving with them.
Sarah the Beard?
Yeah.
Best not to ask. I don't want to... That sounds like one of those things where you're just asking the wrong question and suddenly somebody's head is in an oven. All right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. Or 1-800-727-5955. Coming up, the top five rock and roll myths of all time. Jolie from the front desk. Later on, Clyde Lewis with news at Ground Zero. More of your phone calls. You can also email us at rick@rickemerson.com. We got more on the way. Here's the Suicide Machine. Stay there. Top Talk 1080 KFTK.
Talk 1080 KOTK.
Okay, here's Sarah Dillon with the traffic.
From the KOTK newsroom, here's your Northwest update.
126, Steve Riley with the news, brought to you by AutoZone. Is your car's battery more than 3 years old? Well, then it may not make it through another winter. Don't get stranded. Get into AutoZone for a new battery today. Get into the zone. AutoZone. The death machine is coming. Australia's leading euthanasia advocate, Dr. Philip Nitschke, who has helped several terminally ill people end their lives, is flying into America tomorrow to unveil his new death machine. He'll present this device, which allows a person to breathe in pure carbon monoxide to hasten death, at a national euthanasia conference of the Henlock Society in San Diego. It produces pure carbon dioxide for a person who is suffering and decides it's time to end it all. Nitschke gained international attention in 1997 when he assisted four terminally ill patients to die in Australia's outback. The four used a death machine invented by him that allowed them to administer a lethal injection via a computer. They used a computer program called Deliverance. His latest euthanasia device is what he calls an exit bag, a plastic bag with a drawstring which a person places over his head to suffocate. The new death machine can be built by one person for as little as $100. It'll only be sold to terminally ill patients, though. We'll see it tomorrow, apparently, on TV. Part of the Metro forecast, it's going to be sunny for two more days. And then the rain is coming back again, so enjoy it while it's here. Tim Riley, the KOTK Newsroom.
Bill Hendry is now on twice a day.
Oh, my God, man.
Now 10 in the morning and 7 at night.
That is compelling radio.
Only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
I swear this is true. The drummer for this band had a sex change operation, is now a woman, is still in the band. Completely true.
All right. It's nice he's accepted.
What band is it? They're called Rhino Bucket. They're kind of this AC/DC. Not bad. But they basically sound like AC/DC. They sound a lot like this band called The Poor that came out of Australia in like the, late 80s, early 90s. Anyway, but so I was reading a thing about them the other day. Did you ever get those whole... There's this wild hair. Whatever happened to... And then you start looking up some old band that, like, you haven't heard in, like, 20 years. So I was looking up Rhino Bucket. There's a picture, like, before and after. And before, he's just, like, some working-class drummer guy pounding it out. And now he's, like, some huge guy in a skirt, boobs, you know, the long hair, calls himself Loretta or whatever. And he's just back there, boom, bam, just pounds on the drums. Huge, you know?
You ever seen Hedgewick, that movie?
He's
Hedgewick.
Now officially the only good chick drummer there is. All right.
I think the chick drummer from the Donnas is pretty good.
The Donnas, don't even get me started.
Okay, let's not start
that. No, we talked about the Donnas.
I know.
I like the idea of the Donnas a lot more than I like the actual Donnas. Do you know what I mean? Like, the Donnas, like, on paper, it looks like the best band ever. Hot chicks, tight pants, they play these Ramones-type songs with a little bit of kind of butt rock thrown in. You know, and they have the whole Ramones tribute to where they're all named Donna, you know, and they have a real stripped-down sound. I like the idea a lot, but then you listen to the Donna's records and the songs just aren't that good. They just don't really have any good songs that aren't covers. Like, they did a cover of Too Fast for Love that was great. And then they got the new single that came out, the Take It Off, and it seems so polished. It seems suspiciously polished. Like, maybe they talked to Courtney Love about, who can we sleep with that'll write our songs for us? I don't have time to read this top five now. John, you're on Hot Talk Connecticut. Oh, is this John from Porn Store Janitor?
I think it is.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure,
hey,
yeah.
What's up with you, man?
Hey, not too much, man. How you doing?
So, Porn Store Janitor, so we're now, so Tuesday, so the day of immolation for the Rick Emerson crew is so Saturday, 9:30 at Satyricon. This show is going on.
Yeah.
And so it's, now it is... It is 800 Octane, Barbarella, you all in Porn Store Janitor, and then Dry County Crooks all playing.
Yeah.
And you all come in. Are you ready to rock,
Janitor? We hope so. Yeah.
So people have never seen Porn Store Janitor. What can people expect from the Porn Store Janitor experience?
We've only got a couple tricks up our sleeves this time. I think we're going to have a couple fire dancers and whatnot. You know, we're going to pull out all the surprises for you.
I was just going to say, you ought to set somebody on fire. Somebody in the band, and then to make it a little more edgy, you shouldn't tell them you're going to do it beforehand.
Well, yeah, we usually do. We usually set our drummer on fire, and, you know, every once in a while we happen to have accidents, you know, which is always just an added effect, you know.
And I'm ostensibly going to, and see, can I just tell you, though, how bad the Tim Riley factor is going to suck? Just how badly we're going to play. We were supposed to play three songs, and then it became two, and I think now it's one.
And it's probably not even going to be that. It's probably going
to
be half a song.
Maybe they can just play an extra song so we don't have to.
Seriously, you know what we should do with you all? We should do the All-Star Jam thing, that trick they do at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where it's just like that the Saturday Night Live band in the background and then John Fogerty, whoever just comes up and sings with that band behind him. You guys should be behind a curtain somewhere playing while we pretend to play.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of that.
They're doing a whole Milli Vanilli where you just pre-record it, you know.
No, we're the Muppets.
Now, there's no cover for this on Saturday, right? It's
I believe there is. I think it's probably like $5.
Okay, real low cover. Okay,
cheap, yeah.
Okay, so it's real cheap though. So there's five bucks, and at least five bands. And there's probably going to be some other whackings going on there that will kind of spring at the moment. So $5, five bands.
Yeah.
And it's Porn Star Janitor, 800 Octane, Barbarella, Dry County Crooks, and then the Hideous Unpleasant. Can I just ask you this? Were you at the? You all were at the last listener party, right?
Oh yeah.
So I mean, is the key just to get the audience really, really drunk before you play? Not for you guys specifically, but for bands, because I think that's the only thing that saved us from being pelted with rocks and garbage.
Well, that's exactly it. That's the key to any good band, you know, to get the audience drunk. Because you know, if you're drunk, you know, the music's always better.
All right. You know? Getting me drunk, I sing better.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
Clyde does everything better when he's drunk. Were any of you actually a porn store janitor?
No, actually, I've actually applied to be a porn store janitor and got denied.
You're kidding me.
No. That's where the name came from, you know, because that's got to be the worst job in the world, you know.
If you're a porn store janitor,
you know, you got to strive for something better.
You wanted to be a goo mopper, and they wouldn't hire you.
No, I couldn't even get that far.
Goo mopper. Well, no, it's like the man says, that leaves streaks if you don't get right on it. I mean.
That's right.
No, I'm saying. Well, let's end this conversation now. Okay, so Porn Star Janitor, Barbarella, 800 Octane, and Dry County Crooks, along with the Tim Riley Factor, will be there. Clyde, you going to be there? You gotta be there.
When does it start?
You're doing a best of. You have to do a best of for Ground Zero or something.
When?
This Saturday.
This Saturday.
Yeah.
I might be able to.
Dude, this is for rock. This is for the majesty of rock.
I guess I could do a best of because I really don't have anybody scheduled, so.
Right.
Unless she decides to call me. She's paranoid. She doesn't want to call me.
All right.
In a row.
Okay. Sarah's going to be there. I'm going to be there. Kristen from accounting will be there. Trey Yant from sales will be there. So, good time. So Saturday, we're commencing to rock, baby.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Okay, this is John from Porn Store Janitor. Couldn't be a goo mopper. Can I just tell you, I don't know if I mentioned this. I used to have it. I may have lost it. For the longest time, I had a rejection letter from McDonald's that I kept in the back of my bedroom door to keep me humble. Because I applied for a job there, and I'd like to, it's when I was like 16, and I had a radio job, but, you know, like, it was so few hours, it was like 3 hours a week, and it was just like no money at all. I was still living at home, but I wanted a job for, you know, gas for the car, and, you know, take chicks on dates and stuff. So I was trying to get a job at McDonald's to help supplement my radio job. I'd like to, be a grill cook, you know, and I get this thing in the mail. We are sorry that you do not match any of our current requirements. Like, oh, God, just wanted to kill myself. Not like now.
You lost it, though?
Yeah.
You should totally find it and bring it in.
I might have it somewhere.
You couldn't, like, drop fries or anything?
What? Oh, you mean at McDonald's? No, yeah. they wouldn't hire my ass. And they sent me a rejection letter saying specifically, we will not hire you. It's not that they didn't call back. They said, no. That's what it was. Here's your top five for Tuesday.
5, 4, 3, 2,
no.
1, fire.
Wonderful, counting is marvelous, counting's the best thing to do. Counting is happiness, counting is ecstasy. Yeah, I love to count, don't you?
Hey, it's Tim Riley in the KTK Newsroom.
And these are the top five rock and roll myths of all time.
These are the top five myths. At first we were calling them legends, then we were calling them urban legends, but we decided that myth is probably the appropriate term because, in true Joseph Campbell sense, because these things do usually get passed on over and over and over again, and they loom large in the history of rock and roll, as you and I know it. So I don't know how many of these you all heard, but I'm guessing you heard most of them. These are the top five rock and roll myths in recorded 20th century Western culture history.
And honorable mention, that KISS stands for Knights in Satan's Service.
I gotta say, this isn't really... The reason this is honorable mention is because I don't think anybody ever seriously believed it.
When I was in Argentina.
Except for our parents.
When I was in Argentina, they actually called them caballeros en el servicio de Satanás. Caballeros was spelled with a C, not with a K. They actually went as far as... Yeah.
CIS stands for Knights in Satan's Service.
And I just laughed. I thought it was the funniest thing.
I mean, the reason that this is honorable mention is because this was a myth only believed by parents and preachers. That there was no one our age, like we all knew. Like, we kind of wanted it to be true. See, this is what parents never understand.
CIS stands for Knights in Satan's Service.
And we wanted it to be true. We're like, wouldn't that be bitching? Dude. They would be bitching if they were, like, worshiping the devil and, you know. But we all kind of knew in our hearts that it was just named for the pleasurable socio-romantic activity.
Well, then it was AC/DC, Antichrist, Devil's Children.
Completely, and all of that stuff.
Right Under Satan's Hand for Rush. Styx is the River to Hell.
We knew all of this stuff. But we all kind of knew that none of that was true. But parents and teachers and cops and elders and preachers all believed that it was true. So this was a myth only believed by people over 30. My mom probably still thinks it's true. I also heard that Gene Simmons, it was like a cow tongue that he'd stitched into his mouth. It wasn't his real tongue.
Yeah, that's another myth. And there was a bunch of them about kids. Like, I guess Gene Simmons died in a car accident or something, but it was really based on the idea that Ace Frehley was in a car accident.
Number five, Elvis is alive.
Yeah, this really should be higher, but you have to put it on the list because it's the king, you know, of rock and roll and blah, 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 blah. And it's a huge bit, but it barely scrapes onto the top five because it's just such obvious crap.
I interviewed Dr. Hinton, though, the doctor from Kentucky who says he's treating the real living Elvis.
Okay.
And it's pretty interesting. In fact, Elvis's cousin came on and talked about it.
You know, it's like Bill Clinton. There's a whole bunch of people in this world don't ever have to have a job. Their job is that they knew Elvis one time, you know, or that they sat next to him on a bus or something, or they were next to him at a Walgreens, you know, once in 1964, and that's their whole job now, you know, because they're part of the Memphis Mafia. All right. I just have nothing to contribute about Elvis. Do you remember when that Is Elvis Alive tape came out in, like, 86, though?
Yeah.
That purported interview with Elvis. My Aunt Mary, who's mental anyway, just wet herself. All right, Elvis might be alive! You know, just... You can probably hear the shrieks all the way from Salem rattling her Avon decanters.
Somebody once asked me if I wanted to know the truth about aliens or the truth about Elvis, what would it be? And
Elvis.
I'd say Elvis.
Totally. Yeah, let me ask you this. If you could have one thing or the other, either aliens come to Earth, land on the White House lawn and say we're real, or Elvis is really alive, which would you pick?
Elvis is really
me
alive.
Me too, man. Yeah. I would totally pick that.
I'd love that.
Just to see the headlines. Just to see Bob Woodward at the Washington Post have to report Elvis is alive.
Number four, the story of Rod Stewart and the stomach bump.
All right. Raise your hand if you don't know this story, Sarah.
I've never heard it.
Oh, God. All right. The story about Rod Stewart and the stomach pump, and I'll have to be circumspect here because we're on the radio. It's family entertainment and all. There was a story that went around. Can we all just point out how sleazy this song is, though, for a second?
I didn't realize Rod Stewart sang it. Na, 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 na.
Anyway, there was a story that went around that Rod Stewart collapsed during a concert. Sometimes it's before the concert or after the concert, but he collapsed during a concert, went to the hospital with stomach pains, had to have his stomach pumped, and that out of his stomach, they removed a large, I'm saying this for journalistic purposes, they removed a large quantity of male essence.
Didn't they say the same thing about Little Kim? Or
maybe.
Lil Kim?
I heard the same story.
Yeah.
I heard the same story.
Elton John.
When I was in
David
high school.
Bowie.
When I was in high school, I heard it about Jordan Knight from New Kids on the Block. When I was about, I was either junior or senior, this story went around, dude, did you know Jordan Knight had his stomach pumped and they found a quart of inside? And and that was the rumor that went around. But it started with Rod Stewart. It started about Rod Stewart. And it's true. It's a matter of journalistic record that this was a myth that went around about Rod Stewart.
Right.
How would that even start? It's like the gerbiling thing. How would that even begin?
What gerbiling thing?
Richard Gere? Yeah, I know that one.
You know what I'm talking about.
That's not an urban legend, is it? About Richard Gere?
No, please, just...
Number three.
Who said that, lawyers?
Frank Zappa ate human waste on stage as part of a gross-out contest.
This is another legend that goes around all the time about Frank Zappa. Now, this is a Don't Eat the Yellow Snow.
This song is 9 minutes long.
Yeah, it's the only Zappa song. But the story went around that as part of a so-called gross-out contest in which Alice Cooper also supposedly took part on stage in Detroit, The story is that they were all on stage trying to gross each other out who could do the grossest thing.
Dreamed I was an Eskimo.
And that Frank Zappa won the contest by eating, by consuming human waste.
Feces.
I didn't say that, you said. That's an unpleasant word.
Wind began to blow.
Anyway, I'm saying
we were discussing the pleasantness of that word earlier.
It's a funny word. But so that's the story. Is that how he? That's how he won this gross. Like, it never happened. Absolute crap. That's why it's a myth. It never happened. It's about, absolute crap.
How about Dookie? Can you use the word Dookie?
Nah, I'm not gonna say that. I'm not. I'm really not gonna say that. Okay. Anyway, but that was the myth that went around. Again, myth. Complete fallacy. Completely made up. Never happened. Not a stitch of truth to it. Not one hint of truth to it. No foundation for it at all. But everybody's heard it. Everybody's like, oh yeah, I heard the gross out concept. How those goober predicted thesis. You know, everybody's heard that.
Number two, Alice Cooper was killed by a chicken on stage.
No, read it again.
Oh, Alice Cooper killed a chicken on stage in Montreal.
I like yours better, though. I like the idea of Alice Cooper being killed, because that kind of feeds into the whole, no, he's dead. Alice is a dead man. Miss him, miss him. The story is that Alice Cooper killed a chicken on stage in Montreal, drank the blood, blah, 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 did all of that. This one actually has a germ of truth to it, though. The rumor was that Alice Cooper took a chicken on stage, ripped its head off, drank the blood, threw the body into the audience. Here's what actually happened, and I have video of this at home. I have a copy of the concert at home. It's on a video called Prime Cuts, which is a documentary about Alice Cooper. You can see this. I have the proof. What happened is, he's playing a concert in Montreal, and it's, you know, like a big open-air concert, like Woodstock, kind of in farm country. Somebody throws a chicken on stage. Just like people always throw, people used to throw bats at Ozzy after the biting thing. They threw a chicken on stage. Alice Cooper's from Detroit, never been on a farm in his life. He figures, birds have wings, chicken has wings, birds fly, it'll fly away. Alice, and you can see this, grabs the chicken by the feet, throws it into the air, boom, straight down into the crowd. And the crowd just tears it to pieces, and then they throw it back on stage. And so they throw him the chicken, he throws it away to fly, chicken doesn't fly. The crowd grabs it, tears up the chicken, throws it back on stage. Frank Zappa called him the next day, and they're like, the papers are saying you killed a chicken and drank the blood, is it true? And Alice says, no, it's not true. And he's like, don't tell anyone! Let them think you drank the blood! So there you go, myth-making at its finest, man. I got video of the chicken being killed, too. It's freaky. I mean, I thought chickens flew. Who knew? Well, they got wings. What are the wings there? That's a good question. It's like, what are the
it's like penguins.
Wings there for? Penguins don't fly.
That's to swim, though. That's why penguins have wings.
And seals can hear.
Number one, that Paul McCartney is dead.
Which is actually true. And I still, to this day, think that the Beatles engineered this. There's no way. I don't buy any of this crap. That I'm willing to believe that maybe people started to extrapolate it on their own and they saw stuff that wasn't there. I'm willing to believe that some of it was people started to exacerbate it. But they totally did this. You know that the Beatles totally planted all those messages and had the Paul turn backward and the walrus and the patch on his jacket on Sergeant Pepper that says OPD. You know all of that stuff is real.
Well, did you hear that there's now the conspiracy going around that John Lennon was going to come forward and tell the truth about it. He was shot. And then Harrison was going to come forward and tell the truth about it, but he was stabbed. And then he ended up dying of cancer anyway. And so now they're waiting for Ringo to come forward and try and until Paul McCartney's alive. And eventually Paul will reveal that he really is Billy Shears or whatever the hell he is supposed to be.
Well, the Beatles, by their own admission, I mean, they cop to the fact that they put all kinds of backward messages in their songs. You can hear some of them. You know, like the song Rain is the first use of backward tape. Everybody knows that. And they did put all kinds of hidden messages. Some of them I can't repeat on the radio, but there are quite clearly audible in some Beatles songs. They would slip in hidden profanity. I saw her standing there, has the F word really clearly at the beginning when he says, 1, 2, 3. He does not say 4. By McCartney's own admission, I saw her standing there, starts with 1, 2, 3, F.
You know the song Who Are You by The Who has an F
contains,
word in it,
absolutely.
And they play it all the time, and nobody
the time.
Catches the F word.
The song Penny Lane contains a reference to a sexual act, which I'm not even going to say the phrase on the radio, but there's a line in Penny
Lane.
Wait,
say the phrase before it, the verse before it.
Well, when he talks
we'll discuss.
I guess I can see a euphemism, but when he talks about serving up fish and finger pies, Paul has said, like, look, love, here's what it's about. It's about a little Roger.
You know
that's
Norwegian
totally
wood?
What it is.
Norwegian Wood is about setting fire to your girlfriend's apartment.
Yeah, that's a true story, too. Because Lennon was having an affair. I don't think he burned the house down. But
he said, yeah.
Anyway, so I totally believe the Paul is dead thing was planted by the Beatles. I totally believe they did that. All right, more on the way. We got the Jolie from the front desk without your chick stink later on News at Ground Zero. Don't go anywhere. It's a Rick Emerson Show.
Rick Emerson, only on Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
Call now to join us, 503-250-1080 or 1-800-727-5955. Rick Emerson, only from Hot Talk 1080 KOTK.
All right. It's 503-250-1080 in Portland. It's time for another edition of How Chicks Think with Jolie from the
Club. What a girl wants, what a girl needs, whatever makes me happy. Sets you free, and I'm thanking you for knowing exactly.
Oh, don't let me forget, we're going to talk about Joe Millionaire. We're going to want to talk about this, so we got to do some stuff. Oh, I think we're going to hear from Gabe later on. I think probably in about 10 or 15 minutes, I think we're going to hear from Gabe about the threesome and the questions people have raised about that. So I think we're going to hear from that. So we got the Clyde Lewis and News of Ground Zero coming up, too. But so today's question for How Chicks Think, Jolie. My friends and I were watching Joe Millionaire last night, and it seems like every woman has her price. This is funny because this is just what that Imus promo was about. It seems like every woman has her price. Is that true? Is there a dollar amount at which any woman will sleep with you? How much does it take? And it's Anton, or Anton, I guess.
Well, Anton, just about every woman, but not every woman.
Is that like every woman but me? Every woman
no,
but I Jolie.
Okay. I talked to Kristen in accounting. I've talked to some other women, and no, we wouldn't do it.
Oh, that's a lie.
No, it's not.
Okay,
so, someone you don't like?
Please, what do you care? Okay, so let me make the specificity on this. Raise the bar on this. So, picture a guy that you don't like, that you dislike on every level. He's a bad guy. He's slimy. He's ugly. He's whatever. And I say to you, look, you got $1 million. All you have to do is do it. You wouldn't do that.
I wouldn't.
Oh, you are lying. How can you lie like that? How can you lie like that?
First of all, I am committed in marriage.
Well, I'm saying if you were single. I'm saying if you... I'm saying all things being equal.
I personally would not. No way. No how.
How can you...
We're not
lying like that.
I'm not lying.
Did Sarah say the same thing? Did you say you wouldn't sleep with a guy you hated for $1 million?
I would not.
Especially if he's gross and sleazy.
Well, it gets back to the slutty girls that we were talking about. A lot of girls will do a lot of stuff for money.
Yeah, but if you sleep with him for $1 million, then you can have him killed afterwards. You have the money to have him.
Didn't they make a movie about this like 10 years ago?
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why they did it, because it's just known that all it takes is the dollar amount to be high enough, I would think.
Well, we're not prostitutes.
Oh, please.
No.
We're all prostitutes. Every one of us. Male, female, we're all prostitutes.
Come on.
Sometimes it's not for sex. Sometimes it's for a job. Sometimes it's for a promotion. Sometimes it's,
if Antoine is trying to find out how much money he needs to dole out to get a woman
I don't think he's talking about him. I think he's saying it's true.
Well, in general, anybody these days is going to do anything for money.
Except you guys, because you're
anything
better.
Anything and anyone. No, we're not better. We just...
have standards.
Well, sure, if that's the way you want to put it.
Yeah, make fun of us because of that.
I'm telling you right now, you're lying. If I had the suitcase of money in front of you, and I said, all you have to do is do that ugly guy over there, you would do it.
Would you? No, he wouldn't. And would you sleep with Anna Nicole Smith for, $1 million?
I would take less than that. Just give me cab fare.
Oh, God.
Seriously, hear that Imus promo. What's your name? Was it Sid? Sid talking about, they asked Sid if he would sleep with a guy for $1 million, and he's like, well, I don't know. They say, how about $250,000? He's like, that's fine. I'll buy him dinner the next morning, or lunch, breakfast the next morning, too. So,
geez, a man would sleep with a woman for like $1.
I'm saying that men are pragmatic. Men are practical about it,
No, they just want...
Oh, God. All right, here's that's Jolie from the front desk without chicks. Thank you. Lying like a bad rug. More on the way. It's 503-250-1080. It's the Rick Emerson Show. Stay there. Back after this.
Rick Emerson.
1080 KOTK.